Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up June 24th through the 26th in Texas. So call us today at 210-822-8201 or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Steven Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Steven is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're so glad that you've joined us today. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Steven. Steven, how are you today?
Let's see. How am I doing today? Sometimes I have to check inside. You know, I'm happy right now. I'm loved by my Father, and I'm enjoying this day. It's a beautiful day.
That's great. Well, we want to let you know, as we do every now and then, that we are a listener-supported broadcast, and all that means is that the only way that you're hearing this and the only way that we are able to distribute this program throughout our podcast, as well as the various radio stations that we are on around the country, is through generous partnerships with listeners like you, those who come alongside and say they would like to financially support this ministry. It allows us to not only continue doing what we're doing, but also to expand the reach of the ministry into new areas. So if you'd like to learn about the ways that you can partner with us, simply go to puresexradio.com and click on the donate button. So Stephen, I'm kind of excited about this program because I always like to learn from you when it comes to things like, okay, how do we do relationships better? You know, because I think that is one of those things that's a lifelong journey, wouldn't you agree? I mean, do you ever get to a point where you say, okay, I know everything there is to know about how to make, you know, relationships better? Or do you say, man, there's always something that could be learned, right?
Yes.
And so this program, you have a just long list here of all these just great kind of insights and tips and points about how to have a healthy relationship. So I want you to share with our listeners kind of what was stirring in your mind to do this and how you want us to go from this point.
Thank you, sir. So I write articles and I have a big whiteboard in my bedroom. I'm sort of weird. I'll just get up and it's like, God, I'll dump all this stuff and I got to write it as fast as I can because when it's gone, it's gone. And when I go back to sleep, I forgot it. And it's like, I got to capture this stuff. So I made this big list, and I'm just going to go down a bunch of thoughts that I think the relationship should be full of. If a relationship is full of these topics, it's going to be a rich, powerful, satisfying, dynamic relationship. So I don't have them in any particular order. I just wrote a bunch of words down. I want to talk about it. But I'm going to go to number one, two, three. That's just the way I think. So the first one is going to be restful. You know, the world's full of stress. There's more to do than you're going to get done, right? Life is ticking. you're probably behind financially. There's too many weeds in your yard. Your car's dirtier than it should be, right? There's so much to do. But can you capture a few minutes to be restful? Grab your spouse and go sit on the couch and just say, can we just connect and be restful? So I'm going to say three things, and then I want you to comment on any of these that you think might be useful or add to them. I think during the course of the day, we should just repeat the word rest. Rest, rest, rest. Rest, 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 rest. Worry, stress, shame. No, no, rest, 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 rest. Number one. Number two, this is A, B, and C, actually. But I've started listening to meditation tapes. Gone to YouTube and put on Christian meditation. And sometimes they're words, sometimes they're songs. It's funny because one lady whispers Bible verses. Do you know that you're loved by God? I mean, and wow. It's just so intriguing because you have to really listen, you know? And she's just reading, and it's like it holds your attention. Some people might think it's weird, you know, but because there's all kinds of stuff on the internet, you know? Like pages flipping, and they just, you can listen to somebody turning book pages for 30 minutes. I mean, it's just so weird. So, but there's good stuff too. So I'm listening to meditation tapes in the evening. And I repeat to myself, no more shame, no more failure, you know, no more blame. Just knock it off. Don't waste your time. Be restful. Keep your system at rest. So thought.
Well, you know, my first thought is that you might have launched with the most challenging of all of these tips. I mean, in our culture today, because mm-hmm. think about how unrestful the pace of life often is in our culture. And it's promoted as a good thing. It's promoted that, listen, the more you move, the busier you are, the more active you are on social media, the more.
Right.
And that's what's highlighted as the, you know, the high life, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're saying is actually, you know what, to have healthy relationships, to feel the most connected, to be at the most peace in your life and your relationships requires having an intentionality toward restfulness. And I would say that's the key here, I think, in terms of being restful, is it's not something that if you throw your life into neutral and think that you are going to naturally gravitate towards restfulness in our culture and in our society, then you're mistaken. I think there has to be, you have to be intentional. You have to be doing things like you're saying. I have to be able to say throughout the day, I need to be conscious of the word rest, rest, rest. And so I think it requires more discipline than we might realize.
That's good. So number two on my list is don't complain. You know, here you are with another human being and you can do whatever you want. This is your time. This time will never be here again. Do whatever you want. You could be creative. You could have fun, laugh, play. And some people complain. And you know what? When people start complaining, I say, I think I'll go somewhere else because mm-hmm. I brought you my presence. And you're going to tell me what's wrong, what's bad, what's sad, what's disappointing, what fear. What you're going to tell me terrible things. I came to see you, and you're going to complain about everything? Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. I'm going to go where I can be with someone that is glad to see me and celebrate life with me. Now, I'm going to tell you another way. I went on a date with this woman once, and it was about a $50 meal. And during the course of the meal, she said, well, the waiter's slow. This is cold. The drink isn't the way I like it. I said, I'm going to pay $50. I'm never going to do this again. But I'll smile, and I'm done with you, honey. If that's all, if my presence isn't enough, I'd eat crappy food with somebody I cared about and right. shut my mouth and enjoy the evening that somebody's spending $50 on me, then tainting it with wrong, bad, death, sad, loss, pain, suffering. What mm-hmm. do you think?
Well, I find this another challenging one. And you know, the thing is, as I think about this, I think it's absolutely right because there is, you know, the Bible even talks about, there's proverbs about, you know, listen, it's better to live in the corner of a roof than with a, you know, a complaining woman. And And by the way, I think that goes both ways. I think, you know, a complaining man is just as...
Absolutely.
But, you know, the challenge I see here is, because I get what you're saying, and I don't, maybe this is a tangent, we shouldn't go down it, but I think there's a difference between complaining and being able to face the realities of life. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is, listen, we need to curb the complaining. Because, you know, part of life and part of relationships is talking about hard things, bringing up difficult things, even challenging one another to grow in areas where maybe there needs to be growth. And some people can confuse any kind of criticism as complaining. When in fact, I do think there are healthy criticisms that we can make that says, hey, Stephen, do you want to grow? Do you want to grow? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, can I share with you an area that might need some growth? As your brother, I want to share with you some areas.
Yes.
That is different than complaining, right?
That's absolutely right.
And what you're saying is, let's just curb and just dismiss all the complaining, because complaining is just, it doesn't lead to growth. It's just throwing
what's wrong dialogue. We had one day to spend, and you're going to fill it with what's wrong dialogue? Really?
Yeah.
You know? So number three is, don't run other people down. Everybody's broken. Everybody's a mess. Don't just criticize, be negative, say what's wrong about someone else. I mean, I don't know what that does that's good. Because if you're going to complain about other people, when I leave, you're going to complain about me too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So just don't be about running other people down. It's better. Now, if you see a dilemma, and like you said, you want to talk about it, let's talk about, it seems a little impatient. Let's talk about when you're impatient. I'm impatient. Let's use it as material. But some people just talk negative, run down, what's wrong, this person, that. Yeah, it's such a waste.
I remember one time there was a guy that told me, he said he never saw his parents compliment anyone. And so he just learned that, listen, the only way you talk about people is negatively. Mm. And so think about what kind of shaping that had on him to be able to say, this is how I do life.
Yes.
I'm going to be with you. You leave. I'm going to turn to somebody and say something negative about you.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why I think it's important not to do this is because it's one of the fastest ways to become alone.
Yeah.
You know, and if we're really built for a relationship, I mean, listen, eventually nobody will want to be around you if you're a person that's always going to tear other people up.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So my next category is work on yourself. Your humanity. You picked up flaws. You have blind spots. It's important to know yourself, and people will help you know yourself. And it's better to know yourself so you can improve, because if you're doing stupid things over and over again, you're stuck, mm-hmm. which means anybody living with you is stuck. Either you're growing or you're stuck. You only have two choices, and you have to sort of know areas of weakness that you can work on and be about growing, because that's what this journey is about. We're babies, then we're older, and we die. What's the point? God wanted us to be 10, then 20, then 30, then 40, and be in this situation and that situation. Growth, 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 growth. So don't fight it. Don't fear it. Right? I'm afraid you might see my flaws. Hey, your flaws hang out every day. I hate to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can all see your flaws. Why don't you work on them?
The other thing, too, about this that I think is important in terms of developing healthy relationships is the only person on the planet that you can control is yourself.
Mm.
You know, so when you are seeking to be in a healthy relationship, part of it is you have to release that other person from any sense of control that you might have that says, I'm going to make them into fill in the blank. Because that's another quick way to become alone. And so part of it is saying, listen, I want to bring my best self into this relationship, whether it be a friendship or a marriage or parenting or whatever. And so that means I've got the project that I'm on is to to seek to bring the best self that I can be. So where I need growth, I need to work on that because I want to bring my best self to you.
That's good. And that's what we want, the best and to bring out the best, right? Mm-hmm. So the next category is have a growth mentality. Be hungry to grow. Tell your brain you want to learn something new today. Read some things. Get some ideas. Pass them around. Spiritual growth, emotional growth, relational growth, sexual growth. Be about growth. When you're growing, you're open. You have energy. You admit that you're going to risk and fail. You're growing. You're not done. You're growing. And what does God say about growth? Think about his words. Transformation. Renewal of your mind. Right? The book is full of make the change. Okay? Don't fight it. Make the change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so being on a growth mission also, what it does is it exhibits to those you're in relationship with that you're in motion. And Stephen, if you think about this, if you're going to go through life with friends and with a wife and with children, isn't there something, do you want to go through that with people who have become static or people who are saying, I want to continue to move forward? I want to continue to try. I want to continue to explore. Because part of a growth mission, I think, is it returns us to what I think God designed us in being men and women of wonder.
That's good.
Because growth is saying, hey, there's still things to explore out there. There's adventures to be had. There's stuff to learn and experience. And that, I think, improves relationships. Plus, it gives you more things to talk about. Because if you become static in your life, what do you have to share?
Yes, that's right. So my next topic is be grateful. Man, grateful people are attractive people. You know, they are grateful for me and for you. They're grateful for the food they have, the clothes they wear. They're grateful for their life. They say, what is enough. You know what I have, and it's enough, and I'm grateful. You know, my father never complained. He struggled. There were a bunch of kids. There wasn't enough money. I mean, things got old. My father never complained. And it's very restful to be in a house where people are not complaining. They are grateful, mm-hmm. right? They have gratitude. So maybe I'm putting those two together, but express gratitude. It is like the richness of life. Get the whipped cream off mm-hmm. and enjoy the whipped cream in every day. Express gratitude.
Well, you know, I think one of the quickest and probably the simplest ways that you can bless another human being is to display gratitude. When you and I in ministry, we've received letters and emails and sometimes even from our radio listeners, those who are expressing gratitude for what we have done in their lives. And you can't tell me that that doesn't just bless your socks off. I mean,
yes.
It's one of the most, I don't know, it's one of the most powerful ways that I think we can bring a blessing to someone else is to simply say, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for your life. I'm grateful for your presence. And it makes a difference.
You make me want to go home and tell people I love, hey, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for you. That's good. So practice being quiet. Just be quiet. Be still. There's so much noise. But for just a few minutes a day, try to be quiet. And the problem is you're going to hear a lot of, I was reading this author, and she said it really, she said we all have a chatterbox in our head. And the chatterbox mostly says fear. Doubt. And so we drive ourselves to get something. We drive ourselves to be something. Look, we're all looking for one thing, to be loved. Mm-hmm. But in the quiet, you and God can have a conversation, remind yourself that you are loved. And in the quiet, you can stop the shame dialogue, stop the confusion. In the quiet, you can say to chatterbox, hey, knock it off right now. Mm-hmm. I'm practicing quiet. Just give me quiet right now. I want to be still.
And this is another one of those areas, in the same way the idea of being restful is a discipline, it takes intentionality. I think this is another one of those, too, because, you know, you might you know, you might turn off the radio in your car. Well, you're still in motion. You're paying attention. And I think quiet and stillness go together. And what you'll find is even if you find, let's say, a quiet place in your house and you turn everything off and you're still, you'll realize that then there's even more discipline to be quiet in your head, to be still in your mind. And I think there is something that is very powerful about that. I think also to be still in the presence of others, just to have a moment where you're just still in the presence of your spouse, or you're just still in the presence of your kids or your friends. There's something about it that recalibrates.
Yes, that's good. So my next category is build up one another. Build up those around you. Build them up. Encourage them. Say, you can do it. This is hard. The older should tell the younger, I've been there. You can do it. There's an ending to this problem. You know, people are trying to work and get ahead and move from where they are to a better place. They might be fighting a disease or an illness. Encourage one another. Build them up. Say, wow, that's hard, but you can do it.
Well, and this is the advanced lesson of the don't run other people down. Mm. It's like taking the flip of that. It's saying, okay, there's a certain thing that you need to curb and eliminate, but then you need to replace it. So this is, you know, when we started out with some of the things like don't complain, don't run other people down, you know, it's kind of the don't list. Then you have to realize that if you just stop doing the negative without then also engaging the positive, then you're still going to kind of be having somewhat of an empty existence. So this is saying, yes, on the one hand, don't have all those critical comments about others, but instead seek out people and try to find ways to build them up. And I think there's, you know, we often think about this in terms of words. I think there's other ways to build people up too. I think by maybe gifts that you give, giving your time, maybe even offering service to others is a way you build them up.
That's good. So the next category is be positive, be hopeful, talk about good, celebrate joy. You know, this moment is void. We can fill it with good or bad. And choose to fill it with good. Be positive. In Anne of Green Gables, there's a line that sort of goes like this. Today is fresh and new with no mistakes in it. Mm. And I love that, right? There's no bad, there's no wrong, there's no shame, there's no blame. It's fresh and new, and we can spin it into a positive day if that's what we want to do and bring to our relationships.
I was almost going to say something negative in response to that. I was gonna say, well, there's no mistakes in it until I get out of bed, you know. And then, but that would be negative. So I'm gonna be positive.
You.
And that's again one of those things that I think is very powerful. In the same way that gratitude is one of those that invites people into this really warm space, I think being positive does the same thing. It's saying, it's bringing out the little adventurous kid inside of us that says, well, sure, I can fly. You know, I mean, it's like,
Yes. It's
giving that hopefulness of saying, listen, yes, life is hard. Sure, we all make mistakes. We all stumble, but get up, try again. You know, spread your wings. You can fly.
That's good. So next is stay in relationship to God. You need support. You need true identity. You need a place to rest. We need clarity and truth, and we need a plan. And you know, I've thought about Christianity. I thought, if somebody says, well, it's all not true, and I would go, it's still a great way to live. I'm still going to live that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because what's wrong? There's no wrong in it. It's all about growth, transformation, motivation, sanctification, being more, being acceptable, being made whole. I mean, the whole program is a great program, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're talking about things that encourage and build healthy relationships, and certainly to stay connected to the one who created us and created us for relationship is so foundational to building healthy relationships.
That's good. So I wrote down sing. Just sing out loud. Sing with some songs. Just let your heart sing. It's very attractive. It's very restful. It makes you more interesting. Even if you sing bad, it's like sing and play and be a kid again. Make the world better and make yourself more attractive by showing, I'm not a threat. I'm not dangerous. I'm just a boy or a girl. I'm singing and dancing. I have joy in my heart.
And I'm going to spin this one a little bit because I do think music is so... is just so incredibly foundational to life, you know, is I think it's also good to enjoy music together. So even if you're not the one singing, I think there's something that's very powerful in strengthening a relationship by enjoying music together, whether it's worship music or concert. I mean, one of the favorite memories that my wife and I have is going to a James Taylor concert where part of the amphitheater was actually just a grassy hill and just throwing a blanket down and enjoying, you know, great James Taylor music and enjoying that together. It was very, it was a good moment for our relationship.
And he was singing and having a great
time.
Oh,
yeah, it was great.
Was that a long time ago or is it recent?
No, that was a while back.
Mm. So
now, just so our listeners know, I'm not old enough to have known James Taylor in his prime, but it was still good.
Hey, James Taylor is a friend of mine.
That's right.
We go way back now. We played together. Hey, be happy. And you know what's interesting to me is Dennis Prager on the radio has this whole happiness hour. Mm-hmm. He says you have a moral obligation to be happy. So practice happy, live happy, celebrate happy. Be happy, share happy, and beneath happy is joy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like a deep place in the heart. When you're happy on the outside, lots of times it comes up because there's a joyful heart deep down inside.
And I want you to get to the next two because we've only got a couple minutes left, but I think the next two are really, really good.
Okay, good. So I don't think people appreciate the value and power of grieving. Mm-hmm. There's lots of disappointment in life, and you're going to fight the disappointment, or are you going to do what we're designed to do, grieve to the point of release, go into sadness, grieve, be sad, mourn, and then get to the end of the mourning and live well again. Because what if you didn't get the job you wanted? What if somebody else was chosen? What if you have a handicap? What if, you know, your best friend, something happens? What if your body breaks down? What if? The universal solution to a challenge is to cry out to the Father and say, really, you want me on this mission? I'm going to have to adjust myself, so I'm going to grieve it so I can embrace it.
Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, my father died when I was 18 years old. And when I finally ended up going kind of through the grief process, what that's allowed me to do is still have him connected to my life and even to my children who never got to meet him. And so grief has allowed me to continue. You know, if I hadn't grieved, it'd be very easy for me to leave that history in the past and not let it be a continuing connection to my life. It also enriched my relationship with my mother and my sister to go through that grief process. But this final piece on here is rejoice. And I think that is so incredible for building healthy relationships. There, you know, sure, there's plenty of things to grieve in life, but there's also plenty of things to rejoice over in life. Even the fact that you have friendships and that you are married, you have children, those are things to rejoice in.
Yes.
And rejoice in moments together, rejoice in worship together, rejoice in learning something new. And just I think that idea of rejoicing is very important to build.
And it's like the deep joy coming out. Let the deep joy come out. Mm-hmm. Rejoice.
Yeah.
Right? And celebrate life. And look, this is a sexual integrity program. Mm-hmm. We deal with hard, ugly, broken past stuff. But there's no reason you can't get on a healthy mission and practice healthy skills and grow great love stories and be great lovers and be in sync with your design such that such great rest comes on to you that you can be still in the presence of your Father and you can sing and dance and have joy in your heart.
Amen. Well, we're going to have to close there, and we look forward to having you back here next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.